Okay. All right, thank you, counselors and staff and whoever else was up there. Good to see you, young people. I kind of gotten around to say a quick hello to you tonight, but I certainly don't have but just a couple of names and faces that I learned out at the game. But most of us, I don't have a name and a face yet, but I sure am looking forward to getting to know you this week. And it is great. I am thrilled about being here with you. I really am. And it's been about 3 years since I was last here at Ironwood. And so it's been a while. And every time you go to a place that you haven't been to in a while, you get to see things that have been changed and things that are new and that sort of thing. And I've been asking some of you if you've been here before and how many of you here for the first time and that sort of thing, but I think I want to ask the whole crowd. I'm just talking to the campers here. How many of you, this is the first time you've ever been at Ironwood? Would you hold up your hand? Let me just kind of see how many. Hold them up there. All right, good. All right, super. All right, great. Glad you're here. And so this ought to be real easy. How many of you have been here before? That should be the rest of you. Should be fine. Good. All right, great. Good enough. Well, I'm glad to that we're going to be here together, and probably, very possibly, some of us have never met before. Now, I know that there's at least one church that has been here when I've been here before, and so it's been 3 years ago, and a lot's happened since you were here 3 years ago, and so you probably don't remember me, but if you do, so be it. Other than that, most of us don't know each other, and so I look forward to getting to know you, and I have seen that you've got some outstanding counselors. I hope that you've made a good friend in your counselor, and I hope that you've made some other good friends in your cabin, and we're just getting started, just getting rolling along for the week. Can I get, you know, you got to know me, just some silly questions that were asked a while ago. Can I, let me just get to know some things about you here before we go any further. Did anybody just graduate from high school this last year? You just graduated from high school? One little 12-year-old just raised his hand. Okay. Did you just graduate? Okay. You forgot? Someone had to remind you? Okay. Good. All right. Only one? Is that true? All right. Thanks for coming. Appreciate you coming. So many times when a person graduates from high school, I hope, don't do this. When you graduate from high school, don't think, I don't need camp anymore. I'm basically in middle age. No, you're not. I mean, you got a lot of years left. Someone back there raised their hand that they just graduated to. I don't even know who you guys are back there. We got sponsors back there. Do we have staff? We got someone just walking by that was just wandering in the desert and wound up in here and said, well, I was just looking for some pizza. I don't know. What am I doing here? Or I don't know who everybody is back there, but I'm glad you're here, and staff and sponsors and others and so forth. So good. How many of you are going to be seniors this coming year in school, possibly? All right, good, wonderful. All right, excellent, good. Let me see here. How many of you, forgive me, I don't even know why we're talking about school. I don't even want to talk about school. I mean, come on, this is still July, okay? It's summer, right? For further reference, just step outside. It's summer. You can tell it's a little warm. But when you do go back to that education place. Let me ask you this. How many of you go you go to a public school? You hold up your hands, you go to public school. All right, hold them up there. Let me just kind of look from side to side. Okay, great, wonderful. How many of you go to a traditional classroom, but it's a Christian school? Anybody go to a Christian school in a classroom setting? Okay, good. All right, super. All right, good. Anybody homeschool, home educated? Okay. All right, good. That's the funniest thing in the world. And thank the Lord for homeschoolers. I can ask that question anywhere. It seems like no matter where I go, east, west, north, south, here's the way it goes. How many of you go to public school? And it goes like this. It's very serious. How many of you go to a Christian school in a classroom setting? Serious. How many are homeschooled? I don't have a clue. I'm not really sure why. But it's like, I'm out of my house for a week. I'm so glad to be anywhere other than the homeschool. You know, I don't know. But they just seem to be giddy about being homeschooled. I'm not real sure why, but it's not quite that crazy. But just almost. Anyway, All right, enough of that silliness. Good enough. Let me think here. Well, is there anything else I wanted to ask you? I don't think so. I probably don't even need to go here, but let me just for asking. And I'm just asking campers, because if I go to counselors, they'll be all over the world. But just the campers, how many of you are from the state of California? Would you hold up your hand? All right, hold up your hand there. All right, good. Well, that's the vast majority of you. Okay, good. Let me see here. Anybody from Oregon? Anybody from Oregon? Really? Great. Good. Washington State? Anybody? Did you turn off the lights before you left? Let's see here. The only one from Oregon. Anybody? Okay. Arizona? Anybody from Arizona? Okay, good. Super. New Mexico? We have anybody from New Mexico? Let me see here. Utah? Anybody from Utah? Colorado, Bangladesh, and I don't know what else to ask. Am I missing one? Am I missing something? What? What's that? Missouri, really? Am I from Missouri? Are you from Missouri? Okay, there's a story there. Really, Alaska? We got campers from Alaska? Seriously? When did you leave? March to get here? I mean, that's... Good. Did you fly here? Or? Okay. Okay, great. Look forward to meeting you, man. You probably like the warmth down here. I'm not. They're not cold up there all the time, just 11 and a half months of the year. Okay. Okay, enough of that. Hey, young people, let me tell you something. Let me tell you. Every night, about this time, we're going to gather together to open up the Word of God to learn from it. And I really want, listen, you didn't come to camp to meet the speaker, and I got that, I understand. But I happen to be the conduit, I happen to be the delivery boy, I happen to be the messenger to take truths from the Word of God and say, hey, young people, look at this, this is what the Bible says. Isn't this something? This is incredible. Hey, we better obey what God's Word says. We better listen to this. We better do this. And so every night around this time, we're going to get together to do this. Then also in the mornings, we're going to have a morning chapel service as well. We're going to open up the Word of God. May I say it again? It's not so much the delivery. It's not so much the person who brings it, although I want it to be palatable to your listening. What's really most important is that you're going to get to hear from God's Word. And I'm going to tell you something, that's incredibly important. It's more valuable than gold. And the theme for this week is the idea of hunting for gold and hunting for treasure. And I'm going to tell you something, the fact is we got the treasure sitting in our lap in God's Word. And I cannot say it strongly enough, the importance of you listening to the Bible. Not only in these services are we going to be able to hear the Word of God, you're going to have a daily time in the Word of God, just you along with the Lord, a daily time of devotions, and I forget, it's on the schedule what it's called, but you're going to have a great time studying the Bible every morning as well, learning from the Scriptures. Not only that, you've got counselors who are going to talk to you. At nighttime, they'll give you a brief devotional before going to bed. That's good. That's important. Go to bed with a thought about God and His Word. That's not just something. No, we got to do it. We're at camp. Listen, okay, a little devotional. No, it is something that's very special just before you go to bed to get a truth, a nugget of truth from the Word of God. And then during the days, your counselor very possibly may say, hey, you got a minute? Hey, let's talk for a second. And they may ask you a question about the Word of God. They may ask you about your relationship with God. I'm going to tell you something. All of this is for one purpose. We care. We really do care for your life. You say, you don't even know me. I know that. And I wish I could say, I know you, I know your family, I know your background, but there's a different story in every chair. I get it. But I'm going to tell you something from the depth of my inner man, I care for your life. These counselors care for your life. This camp cares for your life. And we want to be a help to you. We can't make you listen. Oh, I may say, hey, sit up. You know, there's a couple of you here already tonight, already slouching down, getting ready for a good evening nap. Don't let that happen. All right? Sit up and let's listen to the Bible. Not because I deserve anything, but just because, honestly, God's Word deserves it. and we care for you. During the week, I want to get to know you. Hey, it's just us. It's just a few of us. I say a few. I don't know. There are about 10 or 12,000 of us. But I mean, I'm going to do everything I can to get a name and a face. I've already met a couple or three of you. And after I get to know you, it'd be real helpful if you just wear the same clothes every day. All right? I mean, it'd be real, and probably a couple of boys saying, I was planning on that. No, we want you to change clothes. We want you to change clothes. Now, forgive me if I happen to say, what was that name again? All the time teenagers come up and say, you remember me? John? No. Jack? No. Jason? No. What is it? It's Sharon. Oh, okay. I'm sorry, Sharon. I'm sorry. I'll try to remember. But I sometimes forget. But I want to get to know you. And on top of that, now I mean this. I'm joking around a lot of this, but I mean this. If you hear something or if you got a question that's on your mind and you just say, you know something, I'd like to ask you a question. You just say to me, hey, you got a moment? Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. I sure do. I'll stop what I'm doing, and unless I have an appointment that I have to get to, we'll just stop and I'll chat and talk with you. And I may come up to you and say, hey, I got a question for you. Hey, let's go get a Coke and let's go see. Let's go sit down and have a talk. All right? You say, I don't want to talk to you. Okay. But let's not have a miserable week. Let's just have a great week. And I mean that. Hey, when it's time to cheer, give it all you got. When it's time for you to play the game, whatever game they've got for you, give it all you got. When it's time to listen to a message, give it all you got. When it's time to sing, give it all you got. Most of you did tonight. When it's time to eat, that won't be a problem, give it all you got. When it's time to go to bed at night, give it all you got. And counselors inside are saying, yes, please, amen. Please listen. Can I tell you something? I don't mean that for any particular reason except to say this. Honestly, it'll make your day go better the next day. You need rest. You need the rest at this altitude and so on and so forth. Honestly, you say, no, I'm fine. No, it'll catch up with you, especially when you sit down in these chairs in a nice air-conditioned room and so forth. You'll get tired and sleepy, and then I have to stand on my head almost to try to keep you alert and attentive, and I don't want to do that, okay? Because I can't stand on my head. I want you to listen to the Bible because you're alert and attentive, all right? So let's give it all we got this week. Hey, don't wind up on Thursday and you say, man, this has been a great camp. Man, I just love, this is great. Man, I blew the first 3 days. I should have given more attention to what was going on. I love this place. Don't let that happen. From the get-go, give it all you got. You got your Bible? Let's turn to Isaiah chapter 1. Can you find that in the Old Testament tonight? Isaiah chapter 1. Now, if you're familiar with the Old Testament, you can find it. And some of you may not have your Bible. Some of you may not have a Bible. Would you let your counselor, let me, let one of us know, because we're going to do everything we can to help you, because you're going to need your Bible. You're going to need your Bible every day and every service. You're going to need to come in here prepared to listen to the Bible. Okay? So if you need to follow along with somebody tonight, that's fine. But from this point on, if you would please, if you think of something you just feel like you got to say to a friend, save it till after the service. I'll be done here in a little bit. It's been a good full day, and I want to get something across to you here tonight that will just kind of get the ball rolling, just to kick the ball off for the week, okay? You ready? This has probably not happened to you. But maybe somebody has had this happen to you, or maybe a family member has had this, somebody in your family has had this happen, where you've had to go in and sit down and get a checkup from the doctor. This probably not happened to you, I mean, except maybe just to get a checkup to play a sport or something like that. Most of you are probably in good health, but occasionally, sometimes even a teenager has to go sit down with a doctor and have a test run, an x-ray run, a biopsy taken, an MRI, and all these other things that are taken. And then the doctor comes in and maybe they sit down on the chair and they just kind of sit there and they look at you and they go, okay, we need to have a talk. And you know, all of a sudden, this is not going to be good. I mean, the doctor doesn't come in and say, you know, you're in excellent health. You know, I mean, they don't do that. They come in and say, okay, we we saw something. We saw something on the x-ray. We're going to run further tests. Maybe you've had that happen to you. I have. I've had that happen to me. When we turn to Isaiah, it's as if at the very beginning of the book, teenagers, Isaiah is like a doctor sitting down and talking to the people of Israel. We call them Judah. And he says to them, I need to tell you something. There's a sickness in your life. And you're not aware of it. There's a spiritual sickness. And Dr. Isaiah describes the sickness, and then he prescribes what's needed for the sickness. And I think, honestly, everybody in this room at one point or another suffers from what we're going to look at tonight. In fact, my guess is many of you are suffering with it even here tonight, and you may not even know it. And I'm going to tell you something. God says it's a dangerous, deadly disease. Now, I'm going to read several verses, and I'll stop, and because some of the words may not make a bunch of quick sense to you, but I want to make sure that you get it, all right? You ready? Look at verse 1. From this point on, try not to talk to somebody. Just listen to the Word of God. It says in verse 1, the vision of Isaiah, that means the message from Isaiah, the son of Amoz, that was his dad, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord hath spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knows his owner, and the ass, that's the donkey, knows his master's crib. But Israel does not know, my people doth not consider. Ah, sinful nation. A people laden or loaded down with iniquity. A seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors, that is, it leads to other people being corrupted. They have forsaken the Lord, they've provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger, they're gone away backward. Why should you be stricken anymore? You will revolt more and more, the whole head is sick, there's our word, and the whole heart faint. Now look at verse 6. From the sole of the foot, even unto the head, there is no soundness in it. Young people, the word soundness means health, healthiness. Did you hear it? He said, from the sole of your foot to the top of your head, there is no good health in it. But there's wounds and bruises and putrefying or running sores. They've not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified or taken care of with ointment, and he goes on. Don't close your Bible. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Lord, I need your help tonight. There are young people in this room who've been here so many times. They're used to being in a service. There are others, Lord, who are here for the very first time who are not familiar with maybe a camp service. And the fact is, it could be that we're sitting here tonight with this very disease creeping up all over us and we don't even recognize it. And if we do recognize it, in some cases, we don't care. Lord, I can't make people spiritually get healthy. I can't make people spiritually wake up. But I know that you can. So would you please bless the next few moments as we look at the Scriptures together? I need your help. I always do. And I thank you for what you're going to do. And we ask it in your beautiful name. Amen. Young people, I used to live in Florida, and I was a youth pastor down there in the central Florida area in Tampa. Now look, I was in my 20s when I first moved there. Now you know what's in Florida, just like you have here in California. You've got some pretty cool theme parks. We have Disney World out there in Orlando. Well, I didn't live very far from Orlando, and as a young 20-something, I couldn't wait to get over. So me and my new bride went over there, and we looked forward to going over there to see Mickey and all the other things that were there at Disney World. Had a great time. Wonderful. Like a couple of kids running around, just enjoying all the rides, all the exhibits, everything. It was so cool. Then we went back a second time, soon thereafter. We wanted to see more things. And then they kept building more parks and so forth. And we kept enjoying what we could see and so forth. And, you know, after a while, we started having children. And when they got old enough to really enjoy it, you know, we took them over. And we started looking at Disney World through their eyes, you know, and the sparkle of their eyes. It was really neat. It was just kind of fun to say, hey, look at this. You know, hey, we're going to have fun over here at this ride. And, here comes Mickey, you know, and here comes Daffy Duck. And, oh, no, that's just another person, and we're just kind of walking around and having a good time at Disney World. Well, anyway, going through all these things, you know, having a great time. But I got news for you. After a few years, I lived there for 14 years. After a while, I didn't go back anymore. I didn't even think about it. I was too busy with my own world, too busy with my ministry, too busy with my children, my family, and too busy with life, you know. And then all of a sudden, somebody would show up at our church. They were on vacation, and we'd say, oh, good to have you here, you know, so on and so forth, you know, what brings you here? And they'd say, what do you mean, what brings us here, man? We're going to Disney World. And I'd go, oh, yeah, I forgot about that. I forgot that was nearby. I just totally forgot it. Why? Because I became familiar. I lived there. Well, after all those years, I moved to Arizona. Some of you from Arizona. I moved to Arizona. I lived in northern Arizona, which put me very close to the Grand Canyon. Now, I'm going to tell you, if you've ever seen Grand Canyon, it is breathtaking. It really is. If I went there right now, I'd still go, oh my, this is just beautiful. But I got news for you. I went to the Grand Canyon so many times. I hiked it 4 times. I got into the Grand Canyon over and over again, that where, honestly, I loved it. I loved it, but after a while, again, busyness and things going on in my world, I just didn't think about it. I didn't think about going there. I didn't plan trips to go there. And finally, somebody would come to visit us in our ministry, and then they'd say, hey, can you drive us over to see Grand Canyon? And I'm thinking, okay, there goes my day. You know, I got to drive all the way over there and point out things and so forth. And it's cool when we get there, but man, it takes a lot of time. I became so familiar with it, I got used to it, and it just didn't hold that much value anymore. This is the ultimate knowledge of which I learned the danger of this disease, the disease of familiarity. I was working up in my attic one day, in fact, for several days, and I was laying out some boards, and I was nailing down some boards up in my attic so that I could put some storage up in my attic. And the first time I got up in this attic, I got up there and I was trying to get my whereabouts, and I was learning where to bend over where all the cross beams were so I wouldn't bang my head or anything. And so I began to learn where everything was. And then I noticed hanging right at the very top of the ladder going into the attic was this little socket, and it had some wires hanging out. And I looked at it and I said, oh, that's for the purpose of if I ever want to put a light bulb and hook up a light bulb so that I have light up here. That's what that's for. And when I thought, I don't need it. I'm working in the daytime, and there's enough light coming in through the ceiling or through the attic. I can see my way around. If I need a flashlight, I got a flashlight. So I'm good. I'm not going to take the time to install a light. Well, I was working up there for about 3 days, 3-4 days or so forth. And then on that final day, the third day or the fourth day or something, I came up the stairs and I was bringing stuff up and storing it up, and things were going just fine. And as I was walking around, I was bending over, make sure I didn't hit my head on stuff and so forth. And all of a sudden, and I walked up and I saw those wires, and just, I knew they were there. I've seen them every day. They're just kind of a common thing. I just brushed them out of the way so I could get them out of the way. And that's when I realized that those wires were live. Those wires connected together and connected with me, and can I just say it was a shocking event. I'm telling you, it was a sad joke, but it wasn't sad then. I'm telling you, it was... I sat down, and I had to get my bearings. I'm telling you, it was something that I wasn't prepared for. I was just so used to seeing those wires hanging out of that socket. I was just brushing it out of the way. Little did I know the danger of taking it for granted. Look, whether it was Disney World, Grand Canyon, or wires hanging out, you know something? There's a disease, what I call the disease, the dangerous disease of familiarity. You say, what do you mean? It's exactly what Dr. Isaiah was dealing with the people of God. He was saying to them, you are so used to God. You are so used to the temple worship. We would call it church. You're so used to the songs. You're so used to the offerings. You're so used to the activities that you're taking it for granted, and it's destroying you spiritually. And I'm looking at some kids here tonight, the vast majority of which have come to Ironwood several times. You know what's to be expected. If it wasn't this camp, maybe it was some other camp. You know what camp's all about. And if this is your first time to even go to a camp, maybe you've gone to church before. You understand, someone opens the Bible, they read the Bible, they explain the scriptures, they make the application, then they pray. But before all that, they sing, and you kind of go through all the motions. You know what can happen? You can sit in church, and just all of a sudden, you can sit at church at home, and then all of a sudden, you just start getting distracted with everything else, looking at how many squares are in the ceiling, and how many ants are on the floor, and how many people are in the choir that don't know what they're doing, and just all of a sudden you're just kind of sitting there, and the voice, it becomes something like what you see on a Peanuts cartoon. Wah, 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 wah. Look at me. And God calls it a dangerous, cancerous disease that will destroy you spiritually, the disease of familiarity. Oh, I'm somebody new. And one of the advantages of going to camp is being able to be in a different surrounding, in a different setting than what you're used to for at least 4 or 5 days. And listening to a voice that you're not familiar with for just a few days. But it won't take long. It won't take long at all before you'll just kind of get familiar with this, and you'll be sitting kind of in the same chairs, and you're with the same people. And the next thing you know, it's just kind of sitting here going through a service and allowing yourself just to listen to the same old stuff over and over and over again. And God was saying to His people through Isaiah, what have I got to do to get your attention? I don't have your attention. What does this disease look like? Well, look at verse 2. I'm not making this up. Again, I'm just the delivery boy. Look at verse 2. He says there in verse 2, hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord hath spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they rebelled against me. Now notice the words, hear and give ear. Teenagers, when this was originally written, it was written in a language called Hebrew. And I'm going to tell you, the words that we're getting, we read it in our English language. It says this, hear and give ear. But you know what the original wording was? It was like Isaiah, the preacher, was doing this. It was as if he was putting his hand up to his face and he was saying, hey, listen to me! Hey, let me have your attention. It's like what I've done here a couple of times. Look at me. That's kind of why I do that. You know, hey, pay attention. I usually do that for one or two who are drifting away. The vast majority of people aren't. You maybe had your mom look at you before and say, I need you to go in your room. I need you to clean up your room. Need to make up your bed. And then you go to take your... Look at me when I'm talking to you. You ever had your mom say that to you before? Don't look at me like you're an angel. You know exactly what I'm talking about, all right? Or maybe you've heard this, your mother talking to your dad. And she said something like, Hubert, are you listening to me? Now, if your dad's name's Hubert, okay, I just made this up, all right? I didn't know that. Hubert, are you listening to me? Your dad's over there. He's switching channels from one ball game to another. And he goes, huh? What? Yeah, I'm listening. He's in trouble. Because the next thing she's going to say is, what did I just say? And he goes, what's the matter? Have you already forgotten what you said? You got to ask me what you said, you know? He might as well go bury himself out in the backyard because he's in trouble. I'm telling you. You know what it means for someone to say, let me have your attention. That's exactly, hear me, that's exactly what God is saying in verse 2. Look at verse 10. He repeats it. He says, hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom, and give ear unto the law of our God, ye people of Gomorrah. By the way, when he calls them Sodom and Gomorrah, he was comparing them to the old country of Sodom and Gomorrah of yesteryear. Sodom and Gomorrah no longer existed at this point. Are you with me? He was saying this, let me have your attention. Wake up. Listen. Sit up. Look at me. Pay attention. That's exactly what God's saying. You say, well, what's the point? Let me tell you what this disease, this horrible disease of familiarity looks like. You know what it is? First of all, it's spiritual deafness. You become spiritually deaf. It's like, I've heard this. I've heard it. And I've heard it. And I've heard it. And I heard it. And heard it. And heard it. And heard it. And you don't hear it anymore. You just don't even listen. You know, a preacher can stand up and say, hey, young people, let's take our Bible and let's turn to Romans 12. And you go, Romans 12. Really? Really? Again? I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Yeah, I've heard this I don't know how many times. Or a preacher says, hey, let's look at John 3. And you go, John 3? John 3? Really? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever... Come on, man. We know that verse backwards and forwards. I mean, you're going to preach that one? Psalm 1, teenagers, tonight's message, Psalm 1. You go, Psalm 1. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Yeah, I've memorized these verses before. I know it. I've heard it preached. I've heard it taught. Really? Is there anything new? Can you give us something new? No, the truth is, teenagers, you don't need something new, because if it's new, it's not from the Bible. The fact is, many of you have grown up listening to the Bible. Hear me. You've grown up in children's church. You grew up in vacation Bible school. You grew up in Awana or some other children's program. You're now in the youth department. You've come to camp and come to camp and come to camp and gone to service and gone to service to where a guy can stand up and preach and you go, heard this before. You are dangerously sick with the sin, the disease of familiarity. Teenagers, have you become spiritually deaf? Here's the way James puts it. James says in James chapter 1 that there's two different groups of people. Follow me. There are those people who come to the mirror of God's Word. Here's the way he puts it. He says they come to the mirror of God's Word and straightway, that means immediately, they forget what manner of man they were. Then he says, but there are some people who come to the mirror of God's Word, and he says, and they continue therein. Now, those words simply mean they lean into the mirror to see what they need to work on. You see, he describes two different groups of people. There are those who come to the mirror of God's Word. Yeah, I'm fine. I'm gone. And there are those who come to the mirror of God's Word and they go, okay, God, I hear what you're saying. I see what I need to work on. The Bible says that person will be blessed in their life. It's like the difference between a guy and a girl on a typical morning. A guy gets up in the morning and he's got one thought in mind usually. Food, okay? I mean, he's thinking, you know, again, go to the kitchen. He's looking for Cap'n Crunch. He's looking for six eggs and half of a hog and a stack of pancakes. And I mean, you know, and then he looks at the clock and he goes, oh, I guess I better get ready for school. And he goes over to the bathroom and he looks in the mirror and he goes, yeah, I'm fine. And he takes off and he goes, all right? Now, I hope you don't do that, guys, but some of you do. Now, a girl may wake up hungry, but she's not thinking, I mean, the first thing she thinks of when she gets up in the morning, usually most girls is, they're thinking, you know, damage control. You know, what do I have to do to face the day for people to see my face? And so they go into the restroom at home and they're going, the door closes, things get plugged in, smoke begins to billow out underneath the door, machines begin to crank up on the inside of that bathroom, and that girl is putting herself together, and about an hour and a half later she comes out and she says, well, You just have to take me as I am. I think something is not accurate there. Okay, the difference between that guy and that girl is the guy goes, he goes to the mirror and he goes, yeah, I'm fine, and he takes off for the day. The girl goes to the mirror and says, I've got some things to do. As the truth is, teenagers, which Christian teenager are you? Yeah, I'll come to camp. Yeah, I'm fine. I don't need this stuff. Forgive me. I don't know what other word to tell you. That's sickness. That spiritual disease that's going to eat you alive. Or are you the kind of Christian that says, God, I hear you. I see what you're saying to me. That person is blessed in their life, the Bible says. The first symptom of a person who's sick with familiarity, the disease of familiarity, is that they are spiritually deaf. Secondly, they're spiritually desensitized. Desensitized. In other words, they're calloused. You ever had calloused skin to where you can't feel anything, where some callus is? You've rubbed across someplace on your fingers or hand and it just gets calloused. You know what I'm talking about? A person's heart becomes calloused. He says there in verse 5, look at it. He says in verse 5, why should you be stricken? That word stricken means, why should I deal with you harshly and why should I discipline you anymore? You will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick and the whole heart is faint. What's he saying? He's saying, I'm doing everything I can to get your attention. And then you become calloused. Hey, is there anything worse than lying? You say, sure. Yeah, it's lying and it doesn't bother you anymore. Is there anything worse than a dirty thought life? Yeah. What is it? A dirty thought life and it doesn't bother you anymore. Is there anything worse than a mouth filled with vulgarities, cursing? Yeah. What's that? It's cussing. It doesn't bother you anymore. Is there anything worse than ignoring the Bible? Yeah. It's ignoring the Bible and it not bother you anymore. God is saying here to His people, you are sick because you're spiritually deaf and you've become spiritually desensitized. What does that mean? It means there's no response to God. None. God speaks. We can't hear Him. So we're not responding to Him. You know, I'll preach at some camps and I'll preach at some youth rallies. I'll preach some places and I'll watch young people doing the song service. And sometimes they'll be up there, you know, they'll be singing, you know, oh, how I love Jesus. And oh, how, and they start looking around. They think their friends are singing too. And they realize that they're the only one on their row that's singing, oh, how I love Jesus. All of a sudden they become Joe Tough. I'm not going to sing. What's even worse is when you come to the end of the sermon and you go, hey, young people, heads are bowed, and you say, hey, did God speak to your heart? Can I pray for you about something? And some teenager will raise his hand, and then you can see his head turn and look, thinking his friends may be raising their hands, and when he realizes they're not, he brings that hand back down. Why? Because he doesn't want to respond if nobody else will. He's getting sick. One man was a preacher years ago and he was riding his horse from one village to another. And as he was riding his horse to the next village, he realized how indifferent he was becoming to the Word of God. He reined up on his horse and went over into the trees and tied his horse up and fell on his face before God. And he said, God, I'm not going to get up until you warm my heart again. He had become cold. Teenage girl came up to me and my wife at a camp one night. This girl had grown up in a good church. She had grown up in a Christian school. She had grown up in children's programs and a youth program. Everything was spiritually, I's were dotted and all the T's were crossed. I mean, she had lived in the right environment. She looked at us after a service one night, and with tears coming down her face, this good girl looked at us and simply said, in broken words, with one word statement, she said this, "I didn't realize how far I had gotten from God in my life." Why? Just got familiar with it. Like me moving wires out of the way. Just got familiar with it. What's the big deal? It's a big deal. Teenagers, this week can be a week in which you could come and stay spiritually sick, or you could say, "Dear God, you're the great healer. Please, don't let me go through this week and stay sick. Heal me." You say, "Well, what do I need to do?" Okay. Dr. Isaiah gives us the answer. What's the prescription? What's the answer? Hey, let me better state like this. What's the transplant that's needed? You ever known anybody that had to get a transplant? A transplant of an organ in their body? I got one about 9 months ago, believe it or not. Incredible what they can do these days. You may need a spiritual transplant. You say, what is it? He says to us in verse 11, if you'll look. He says here, "To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith the Lord? I am full of the burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts." Pause right there. What in the world is he talking about? You see, back in the Old Testament culture, they would come and they would bring offerings of animals to the Lord, and they would sacrifice these animals. That was their worship of God. We don't do that anymore, thank the Lord. But they did that to represent the coming sacrifice of the Lamb of God. Stay with me. Look at verse 12. He said, "When you come to appear before me, who's required this at your hand to tread my courts?" In other words, he's saying, why do you come to the house of God and do the things that you do? I want to say, time out. What do you mean, why do we come to the house of God and do what we do? We've always done this. You're the one who told us to come to church. You're the one who told us to give our offerings. You're the one who told us to sing. Look at verse 13. He says, "Bring no more vain oblations." That word means offerings. He says, stop giving your offerings. "Incense is an abomination unto me." Look at verse 14. "Your new moons and your appointed feasts my soul hates." Verse 15. "And when you spread forth your hands, I'm going to hide my eyes from you. Yea, when you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood." What in the world? What is God saying? He's saying, I don't want you praying anymore. I don't want you singing anymore. I don't want you giving your offerings anymore. I don't want you coming to the church and tread my courts anymore. What? What's he saying? He's saying this. If you want to be healthy, bring, here it is, sincere reverence. Let your worship, your reverence for God be sincere. Instead of just singing, No. He's saying when it comes to singing, think about what you're singing. When it comes to worshiping God, don't just sit there and go through the motions. God is saying, I am full of your insincerity. Now, I'm talking to me. I'm talking to me. Because there have been many a service in which I've just sung the same old songs. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste. The Bible is saying here, God is saying, Morris, I want you to be healthy. Quit being insincere. Give me your heart when you worship me. He wants sincere reverence. Don't let the word reverence sound like a dry and dusty word. The idea there is an awe of God. It's the idea of, oh God, you are magnificent. You are awesome. And oh God, I worship you. I'm telling you, teenagers, when it comes to singing, when it comes to reading the Bible, when it comes to listening to the Bible, he's saying this, give me your heart. I want your heart to be in it. Hey, look, it's on the schedule. We can just go through the motions if you want to. We can come in here and say, okay, the times this we're going to start, and then we're going to end at a certain time. Okay, let's hurry up and let's go do some of the things that we really want to do. Oh, okay, morning chapel. We got to come in here and let's put in the time. All right, okay, let's go do other things. I mean, it's on the schedule. We can just go through the motions, or we can get healthy. We can come in here and say, God, I can't wait to hear from you. Oh, okay, it's time to go have my morning time in the Bible and fill out a few questions and in this little booklet they give me. Okay, all right, let's hurry up and get this over with. I wonder what time the stores will be open. Or you can say, God, I come to the mirror of God's Word and I really want to hear from you. Because you're the most important one to hear. And this is, I don't want to go home the same way I came to camp. What's the answer to get healthy? Sincere reverence. And there's one more thing. Look at verse 16. He says in verse 16, wash you. Now we could stop right there. God could have stopped right there. Wash you. Period. But he didn't stop there. He puts a double emphasis on it. Keep reading. Wash you. Make you clean. He could have stopped right there. But he puts a triple whammy on us. He says, put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. But he doesn't stop there. He says, cease to do evil. Four times he says basically the same things. Fellas, are you with me? Four times he says the same things. Get clean. Call sin what it is. Get it out. All right, what's he saying? He says, you want to get healthy? Bring sincere reverence. And number two, sober repentance. The reason why it's given four times is to emphasize. You ever highlighted something in a book because it's important? You think, I'm going to need to know this. You circle something. That's what God's doing. Wash you. Make you clean. Put away the evil from all your doings. He says it four times. Get spiritually clean. Why? He's saying this. I don't want sin to stay in your life. Somewhere today, somewhere along the way today, you've gone in and gotten cleaned up and showered up and freshened up. Good. All right, you can do that physically from time to time. Like, let me see, every day we have to spiritually get cleaned up too. And I may be looking at somebody, hear me, just look at me. I'm not your enemy. You may have come to camp, honestly, and there's some sin there that needs to be confessed. There's something between you and God that's keeping you from being spiritually healthy. Something's not right. There's a separation between you and God. I don't know what it is. But right now you may be thinking of what it is. And you want to be healthy? Call sin by its first name. Say, God, I'm sorry. I lied to my parents. God, I stole this at that store. Lord, forgive me. I've been looking at junk online I shouldn't be looking at. I know it doesn't please you. God, I talk back to my parents, and I know you told me not. I know your word said not to do that. And there's something between you and the Lord. Admit it. Call it what it is. Years ago, when I was a youth pastor, had a youth group down in the state of Florida. I remember I told you I used to live in Florida. Had this kid in my youth group. He was a good kid. Just a good kid. But something happened to him one night in which he got spiritually healthy. It was unique. On a Friday night, he and his family were going to have a family film, a family video night, a family movie night. They were going to sit down and watch some movie. And an electrical storm came through and knocked out all the power in that area. They had no electricity. So they couldn't watch TV, couldn't watch a video, it was just shut down. Had the machine all ready to go with this little video they were going to pop in and watch. Power was gone. And the kid in my youth group was so angry. He was so excited about what they were going to get to do. He just said, now what am I going to do now? He marched up to his room. He had a flashlight. He got into his room. He had a little lantern. He had this lantern, kind of a big flashlight. He turned it on. And he sat there and he says, what am I going to do now? He grabbed his Bible. And he thought, I'm going to read over here in the book of Matthew where Jesus died on the cross for me. I mean, I've heard people preach about that all my life, but I'm going to just read it myself. So he turned to the Gospel of Matthew and he turned and he read the crucifixion. Well, he kept reading until he got through the resurrection where Jesus rose from the dead. It so moved him, he said, I'm going to go over here to the Gospel of Mark and do the same thing. He turned to Mark and he says, I'm going to read where Jesus died. I'm going to read Mark's account. And he read what Mark had to say once again. He went through Mark and then he said, I'm going to see what Luke has to say. He read what Luke had to say. Then he went to John and he read what John had to say, the crucifixion. And when he went through, he didn't even say how long it took, but about an hour maybe. All he did was just read over and over and over again where Jesus died for him, was buried, and rose again. And by the time he got through, he got on his knees and he said, oh God, I've taken you for granted all my life. You love me this much to die for me. And he stood up in our youth group on Sunday and he told our youth group, he said, on the night that God turned off the lights in our home, God lit a flame inside of me. And that boy named Chris is a youth pastor himself tonight, also in the state of Florida. Because on one night he realized he had gotten spiritually used to things. And God got his attention in a very small way. But he listened and he responded. And that's what I hope you'll do this week. Would you bow your heads with me?